It's here on U105 on an old wet, miserable Monday. But Mondays get a lift when we get the mistress of Mindset Mastery, and she's here with us in the studio. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. That is a lovely bonnet. Do you not think it's a wee bit early, though?
What are you saying? What is a bonnet?
A bonnet? Your Easter bonnet?
Uh-huh.
Did you make that yourself?
What are we describing at this minute in time? Have I still got a cap on? What is it? What do you mean an Easter bonnet?
I'm taking advantage of the fact that people can't see, and I am making up and creating an image are sitting here with your Easter bonnet on that you made yourself.
It's only the start of Holy Week, you know. You'd probably not be here on Easter Monday.
Will you be here on Easter Monday?
No.
No, well, neither will I. I'd be sitting here talking to myself.
So the Easter is important to you. This is what you're talking about, the countdown to Easter. This time of the year to you is uplifting. Is it spiritual?
Not particularly. If you're asking me that question, my spirituality, I was listening to you coming down, I was listening to Finola, and I was listening to Malachi, and I was thinking, what is it about life that is important, that if we pay attention to it, we can have a good quality of life? And what was screaming at me over and over again was, daily practices, good daily practices, when you can be spiritual, inverted commas, by actually going inside and tapping into your own innate wisdom. You were talking about a mother's instinct. And do men have it? Do women have it? We all have it, but we really don't spend time activating those skills. And I was thinking to myself, when I was driving down and listening to you and thinking, I remember a time when I didn't do any of that. And, you know, today these are my non-negotiables. You know, when I waken in the morning, 5:15, I waken early so that I can do my daily practices, so that I can do my meditation, which is essentially going quiet, going inside, turning phones off, turning people off, turning outside influences off, and going inside and just being with yourself.
But is this time of year, this spring, this new life attitude that happens around Easter time, is this in keeping with all of what you're
absolutely
talking about?
I mean, we call it Easter for a reason. I mean, you know, this is if you look at the seasons, it doesn't have to be religious, it doesn't have to be Christian, it doesn't have to be what it can be, and if that works for you, that's all good. I'm not knocking any of that. But what I'm saying is that your own innate wisdom, which is tied into the seasons, and this is the season of growth. This is the, you know, even on a wet day like this, I'm in great form. Why? Not because of the outside influences, the weather, but because of the inside power that I have within me, that I take control. Oh, I mean, Malachi's torturing himself looking at all those people that are bothering him. Okay? But when you activate and cultivate your inner wisdom, then you have a much better quality of life. Does that make sense?
So this is a good time to rejuvenate yourself. We're coming out of Lent. We're going into Easter. We've probably failed with the New Year's resolutions. Start again and blossom. Am I on the right line here?
Absolutely, frankly. Absolutely, you are on the right. You know, when you understand how you actually work, how you operate, that your thoughts turn into feelings. Okay, you with me there? Thoughts turn into feelings, and feelings are a conscious awareness of your own inner energy that you're giving out. And then if you take healthy action based on that, backed by the feeling, then you get what you want in your life.
Well, as you mentioned Malachi, he is going through his life torturing himself by not being embracing of people who he doesn't like on television. That just happens to be, it's a narrow cohort, but he doesn't like camp people on television.
Yeah.
And it's beginning to exceptionally irritate him.
I sense that.
And
yeah.
He seems to only like, for want to use his term, good looking women on television. He just wants people to look good.
Well, I don't think that's what he said. I think he said that he used Spice as because she was a good looking, attractive woman, that, you know, that was easier for him to watch. That was easier entertainment for him.
Yeah, he talked quite a bit about wanting good-looking women, but he also talked about wanting men's men. He wanted men to be men. And, you know, this irritation that he has, you touched on it there, the fact that it's annoying him. Why would he bother becoming annoyed? Why would he go to the point of phoning a radio station to give off about
those
presenters?
His inner cultural conditionings. He has been programmed. We're programmed from we come into the world. We're programmed to be that certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't acceptable. And in Malachy's case, as in all of us, what you say in Malachy, we have all been programmed to believe in things, that things should be a certain way, that certain things are right and certain things are not right. And so when we bump up against those things that are not right for us, that's where we need to take emotional control. And if we have those skills, we can, you know, and if we don't have them, then we end up in situations that we find irritable, at least, and at worst, unacceptable. That we, you know, at the worst case scenario, we can't even be here. We say, I don't even want to be here anymore.
Yeah, so, in fairness, we should say to people joining this late, Malachy is very clear that he's absolutely nothing against people who are gay or homosexual or anything like that. He just doesn't like camp style.
He's just fed up with it. He just sees
really
it all over the place.
Yeah.
It's starting to really, really.
But he needs to get over it, doesn't he? And blossom for a new Easter and put it out of his mind.
Well, when he realizes, and others like him, I was one of those people at one time, that when you realize you're actually doing this to yourself, you know, the outside influences are you're you know, a slave to the outside. And when you can practice inner skills, so that when you can, you know, what I was coming on to talk about was actually being hopeful. How can we, this is the time of growth and
renewal
and all of that. And, you know, the church symbolizes that. And so what can you do if you don't feel hopeful? You know, it can be challenging. When you're sitting, like Malachy, in a situation that he doesn't like, no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is that you don't like, it's entirely possible to change that when you have the right approach. So I have a few tips for that. So the first one, and I never get tired saying this, and you hear me saying it all the time, practice gratitude. If I said to you now, Frank, can you give me 3 things you're grateful for? What would they be?
Oh, for goodness sake, you know, health, obviously, family is a second one. And the very idea of being in the company of J.D. McGuire on a Monday morning. You know,
that is the top answer, Frank. Go to the top of the class. That is the top answer. When you practice gratitude, you chemically lift yourself. So maybe if Malachy's listening to this, if Malachy could think of something that he's grateful for, at least he's got a television. At least he can afford to pay a license, even if he doesn't want to pay it. If you can think of something you're grateful for, chemically you change your feelings and you cannot help but feel better. So when you focus on positive aspects of your life, you can shift your perspective and that brings hope, okay? So that's one way you can do it. Practice gratitude. I do that every morning. Whether or not you say it, I highly recommend you write it, because there's much more power in writing. What I'm grateful for, my great life, my fantastic home, my health, my friends, my family, my friend Frank. You know, I do that. I write that every morning. And
but a lot of people will find their list very short. They don't have a lot to be thankful for.
I would challenge that and say they don't know how to be grateful. That if I ask
some people
you,
are in dire straits, some people are I know that. Really ill, some people are
I know that.
Incredibly depressed, some people live in abusive relationships. It must be very hard to even get the pen out.
Well, this is what I say, get the pen out. Get the pen out and start. And when I work with clients all the time and I constantly say to them, give me something they're grateful for, and they actually can't think of it. And this is actually a skill. When you practice it, and I'll say to them, I'll give you a fiver if you can think of something, or I'll give you a tenner if you can, just to make a joke of it. And then they go, well, okay. And they start, their mind starts to move in a different direction. And it's like a track. You remember when we used to play, in the fields when we were kids, and we'd play in the fields, and we'd always make huts. Did you ever make huts?
Of course, yeah.
And you would make the hut, and everybody would go to that hut for a while, and then the big ones, the older ones, they would make a new hut over on the other side of the field. And they'd come out to play in the morning, and they'd say, new hut, and you saw that it was in a different direction. So there were two things. One, you had to tramp down the grass to get to the new hut. And it also, the second thing was, it wasn't very long till the old one looked grown old and grown over. And this is the same in our mind. When you build a track to gratitude, you will feel better. You'll actually feel better. And when you build that track, you get better, and you actually release chemicals called oxytocin and melatonin, and then you start to feel better.
So you feel better by being grateful. What's the next one?
Set realistic goals. Break down your aspirations into manageable steps. Achieve small victories along the way and build momentum to boost your confidence, and that will make hope more accessible. Okay, so small goals. If you're watching television, I keep going back to Malachi, but I'm just using it as an example. If you have a problem, if you're watching television, and that sounds like you're watching a lot of television, you know, turn the television off. Go out for a walk. Look round you. Breathe in the air. Get grateful for what you have and say, well, maybe I'm going to walk every day for 10 minutes and then I'll get healthier. And I'm not saying Malachi's not healthy, but I'm just saying if this is something that you want to do, small, chunkable, manageable goals, make hope more accessible. Third one, surround yourself with positivity. Okay, do you surround yourself with positivity, Frank?
Well, this is easy because I live in a very positive world. And but sometimes you need an old cynic. You need an Alex Kane politically. When I interview Alex by his very nature will admit to being a cynic. And I think healthy cynicism is a very good thing because you're never taken for a fool then. Those who are positive all the time can be much closer to being idiots than those who see the glass half empty. I think balance, you know, you don't want to be,
so there's,
you don't
there's
want to be too positive.
Well,
you don't want to blind yourself to reality. That's my best way of phrasing that.
Your reality is your perceived reality. Your perception of the world is your reality. Lots of stuff is going on, but it's how you see the world. So if you serve yourself by being positive, that's okay. There's no such thing as you can't be too positive, but there is what's called toxic positivity, where you're positive all the time because you're actually ignoring what's bothering you. Do you ever hear that about people who, people who have taken their own lives, and they'll say, well, he was always that happy, he was always that, because there was that toxic positivity can be a coping skill to avoid what you really want to deal with.
So you've got to deal with reality, that's my point.
Yes, if something's really bothering you, you need to deal with it. Visualize your success, imagine your future, seek inspiration, connect with nature. But really, when you are challenged, if you need help, if you need help, that's what people like me are there for. You know, reach out and attend to it. You know, I was actually at an event at the weekend, a great event, and I was speaking to a doctor at it, and she was very glad to have the conversation. And she said, this could be a life-changing conversation. And I said to her about, we need to be positive, more positive. And she said about that, the reality of being burdened. But one conversation with someone, a like-minded person, can change the whole direction of your life. So, you know, I was saying to her, you know, I don't go any longer than 5 weeks without getting my hair done. So why would I not go any longer without attending to my mental health?
The 5 weeks up? Stopped in tracks. Because I have to say, you're just back from the hairstylist. It's fabulous.
You will pay. You know you'll pay for that.
I know that.
You will. I will get you.
You stopped in your tracks.
That war has been declared. Okay. You're just
out of the hairstylist.
I actually was in the hairdresser.
I know.
And I mentioned Paul Stafford again, a great hairdresser. But I'm telling you now, the gauntlet has been thrown down. You will sup sorrow with the spoon of grief, as we say up in the country.
I know I shouldn't have said it. Listen, thank you. Thank you.
Our affirmation for this week is, I am safe in hope's embrace. You are not safe, Frank, but the rest of the nation is safe in hope's embrace. Thank you, and over and out. You're dead.
Her hair
You're dead,
is superb.
You are superb. Dead.
It's 25 past 11.